Welcome to Healthy Family Connections, the podcast for families wanting out-of-the-box solutions to parenting and relationship challenges, with your host, psychotherapist and author of Ending the Parenting Control Battle, Neil D. Brown.
Many women are surprised by their choice to leave their career and stay at home when they become a parent. Is that a good thing? Or is it over the top? We'll talk about this and more on this week's podcast. Is it okay to be an at-home mom? It's sponsored by Neil D. Brown, LCSW, and I'm your host, Neil D. Brown, and I'm here to help you get that enjoyable family you work for every day. And if you have a question you'd like me to address on this podcast, don't be shy. We'll all benefit from your question, so come on over to my website, neildbrown.com, and enter it there today. And while you're there, download a free copy of my Parental Burnout Recovery Guide. And let's all remember, this is an educational podcast, not a substitute for therapy when you need it. Well, Claire Kane Miller of the New York Times wrote an article last month titled, "The Costs of Motherhood Are Rising and Catching Women Off Guard." And then the subtitle is, "New Research Shows That College-Educated Women in Particular Underestimate the Demands of Parenthood and the Difficulties of Combining Work and Parenting." So, this study shows the percentage of women in the workforce was on the rise until the 1990s when it leveled off. That in spite of more women getting degrees and anticipating careers and not planning to stay at home. Well, as it is, between 15 and 18% of women stay at home after their first child is born, even though only 2% anticipate doing that. So what's going on? Well, Judy Davis and Sandy Fowler from the Mighty Parenting Podcast, in response to this article, tweeted me and they said, "How much of this do you think, Neil, we bring on ourselves, where we're actually doing more than we should or creating unreal and unhealthy expectations? We know many are over-parenting, but do you think the time and energy have legitimately risen?" In other words, the time and energy it takes to parent. Well, Sandy and Judy, the easiest and most direct answer to your question is yes, there are real and legitimate reasons for parents to take on full-time parenting and homemaking, or at least in many cases, taking less career track positions in order to devote more time to parenting. And some of those reasons are specifically related to our times. Let's take a look at some of those. Well, what I hear from many women is the amount I can make working barely pays for the childcare. Why should I work so someone else can raise my child? We don't have universal high-quality childcare or universal preschool in the United States, and we don't have guaranteed maternity and paternity leave like they do in many other Western countries. So it makes sense economically for many parents to simply take on full-time parenting and homemaking. And then there are dual career couples where both parents are chasing career advancement. But then when children come into the picture, the stress that leaves is too much. There's too much that doesn't get done in the home. And in my podcast a few weeks ago, Parental Burnout is an Epidemic, one of the top causes parents listed was both parents working. Many couples decide it's better to let one person make the big bucks and let the other one come home. And surprise, surprise, usually it's the mom. Why is this? Well, my cousin, Dr. Bonnie Fox, who is a sociology professor at the University of Toronto, did a study where she followed 40 couples from pregnancy through the first year of life after the birth of their first baby. And she wrote up her discoveries in her book, When Couples Become Parents. And one of her many fascinating and informing discoveries is that women in general tend to accept or adopt traditional ideas about gender roles after giving birth than they had prior. So they are more willing and more desirous after having a baby to take on the role of at-home parent. Women, as the Claire Kane Miller article points out, are told from the time they're very young that they can do anything they want. And then they find out, number one, babies and children are a lot more work than they thought. And number two, they fall in love with their babies and don't want to leave them in someone else's care. Having a baby changes us. And it changes women more than men. Women fall in love with their babies and want to prioritize their needs and bond with them. They often don't anticipate that. There are a lot of other reasons parents will want to leave the workforce and come home, or in many cases put limits on their work so they can be home more. We know more about child development now than we used to. Remember when type A personalities were dying off from heart attacks and we thought everyone has to learn to be a type B? And then the data came out about how a poor diet and lack of exercise causes heart attacks. And suddenly the type A's, true to their personality type, changed their diet, started jogging, going to the gym, and type A heart attacks dropped way off. Well, I think it's much the same with raising children. We know a lot more about the importance of breastfeeding, engagement in responding to babies' cues, and exposure to language, music, and nature. We know a lot more about the importance of bonding and early neurological development. So having this knowledge, now we're compelled to act on it. Other knowledge we now have is about neurodiversity. It's the realization that all kids can learn, and there is a lot of diversity in how our brains are wired. So, if your child has learning differences or is differently wired in any way, has ADHD, on the autism spectrum, whatever, parents now know they can and need to advocate to get their child the services they need to be able to succeed. I just wish our society would catch up to that realization and fund schools to ensure every child's success. Now, if you have a differently wired child, in many situations, advocacy with the school is necessary to get your child the services and accommodations they need. Of course, on the other hand, often schools are trying to offer accommodations and parents fight it, believing that labeling will hurt them or they're in denial. But either way, if you have a differently wired child, learning and collaborating with schools and other resources will be important, and it can be a full-time job to do it right. In the parental burnout study that I referenced, almost all respondents reported that parenting today is more difficult than it used to be. Well, why is that? Well, in the survey, parents said social media, lack of cooperation from children and teens, and child and teen emotional and behavioral dysfunction. Well, clearly, the internet and the access all kids have to the internet creates a set of parenting challenges that are just new. Controlling kids' access to addictive devices, particularly when they need to be on those devices for school purposes, is a pretty darn challenging thing. And then explaining and helping kids integrate what they're seeing on the internet, including porn and violence, is another challenge. And then there's helping kids manage their social media lives by setting limits with it and teaching appropriate use and protecting them from abuse. Those are definitely new challenges. And then making sure our kids get exercise and good nutrition. You know, there was no fast food when I was growing up. Sure, there was the candy store, but eating out was very occasional. We ate healthy home-cooked meals, and almost everybody went home and had their evening dinner with their family. You know, now when kids come home, back then when kids came home from school, you know, they'd have a snack and then go out and play. Well, now kids are in after-school activities. So if your kid is going to get any exercise, well, they're on a soccer team or some sport or after-school physical activity, we don't just let kids go out and play. Or not in a lot of neighborhoods. And even if you did, there wouldn't be anyone to play with because the other kids would be off in these activities. So raising kids is a lot more management of their time. It's more management of food, more management of education. We have to find that balance between appropriate support and structure and letting kids learn and grow independently. It's not easy, and it's really important to get that balance right. Here is where I think we bring parenting anxiety on ourselves and we end up overparenting. We have to make sure that our child goes to the top preschool so they can get into the best private school so they can go to the best college. I mean, that's nuts, but that's what's going on in a lot of places. Or when we think, if we do everything right as parents, that our children and teenagers won't have any problems. All kids have problems, and learning to solve them is how they grow up. As adults, we all have problems, and healthy adults have learned how to solve problems. So we want kids to have problems and learn to solve them. Parents today are far more reluctant to set and enforce limits, and they're much more reluctant to use parental authority. They expect that if they explain things well enough and are supportive enough, their kids will cooperate without enforcing limits. So when kids test limits or are uncooperative or get into trouble, parents can take it personally and respond emotionally rather than creating a learning opportunity for kids and teens. So parents, if you've decided to be an at-home mom or dad, or are limiting your work to be able to prioritize parenting, good for you. Being a proactive, conscious parent is a wonderful thing. Beware of expecting perfection from yourself or from your child. Get support for yourself and have and engage other interests. That way, you'll stay healthy and you'll be able to sustain your high-quality parenting self. Well, thanks for tuning in today, everyone, and special thanks to you, Judy and Sandy, of the Mighty Parenting Podcast for your tweet question. Hey, they have some killer interviews on their podcast, including one with me, so go check it out. And if you're enjoying the Healthy Family Connections podcast, do me a favor and go to the iTunes site, leave a review there. That way you'll help other folks know they can benefit from it as well. And please remember, take care of yourselves. You need it. You deserve it. You're worth it. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Healthy Family Connections with Neil D. Brown. If you have a question you'd like answered, head over to neildbrown.com/submit and enter your question for Neil there. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his weekly offering. You may want to pick up a copy of Ending the Parent-Teen Control Battle at your favorite bookstore or online retailer. Join us again for the Healthy Family Connections podcast.